Now, it's good to welcome back Brian Hughes, as I'm sure you know by now, is the consultant solicitor at Shenfield-based Rayner Hughes. And after the past few chats that we've had, we spent some time looking at issues relating to the difference between purchasing a property as freehold or leasehold. And today, you're going to be looking at management and service charges, one of your bet hates, eh? So just what are these charges and to whom are they applicable?
Well, Scott, generally speaking, if you own a freehold property, you don't have to worry about them. Unless you've recently bought a freehold property where the developers have included in their estate development some common areas which they expect everyone to help maintain. In essence, service charges represent the cost of insuring your property, your leasehold property, and the maintenance of the building of which your flat, apartment or maisonette forms part. These are quite distinct from the rent, which is set out in the lease and known to you, the tenant, from the outset. However, the amount you have to pay by way of management and service charges is not. It's a proportionate part of the annual cost of insuring and maintaining the building and the common parts you share with other tenants, like the access areas, car parking and garden areas.
Right, so if you are in a flat, in a block of six flats, presumably you'll have to pay one-sixth of the charges. Would that be right?
Yeah, that's right. And unless you're fortunate enough to own a share in the freehold, you're very much in the hands of the landlord as far as the cost of insuring and maintaining the building is concerned.
Okay, now I'm with you so far, but where do the managing agents come in then?
Well, many landlords don't want the hassle of collecting the rent and service charges for the from the tenants, so they appoint managing agents to do it for them and to manage the building on their behalves. But obviously these agents are not going to do this out of the kindness of their hearts, and at a percentage, usually of between 10 and 20% of the total service charge expenditure, including the cost of insurance for the work they do. If they're left to arrange the insurance, for example, there's nothing to stop them selecting an insurer offering a comprehensive package at a higher price than other insurers and then taking a commission from them. There's not much a tenant can do about that. On the other hand, there are some fairly strict rules about managing agents and landlords obtaining quotes for remedial work, and tenants do have some say in this, and that's something we can look at a later date. For now, we'll just look at what a tenant or prospective purchaser should expect to pay when a leasehold flat or maisonette is sold. So let's start by looking at the sale from the point of view of the selling tenant.
So why should any expense be necessary at all?
Well, for starters, a prospective purchaser will want to know that the selling tenant has paid the rent and the correct proportion of service charges. The purchaser and his mortgage lender will also want details of the insurance of the building and what expenditure on the building is likely to take place over the next 2 or 3 years, for example, when it's due to be repainted on the outside or within the common areas like staircases. The prospective purchaser will also want to know whether there are any disputes with the landlord and whether there's a sinking fund, a reserve fund that's being built up to cover future expenditure on the building. In other words, the prospective purchaser will ask for what we call a management pack. At this point, the pound signs start twinkling in the managing agent's eyes. You want a pack? You can have a pack. It will cost you somewhere in the region of £300 plus VAT, and on receipt of the money, we'll send you one.
Cheap at the price, I'd say.
Oh, yeah. If the prospective purchaser's conveyancers have any additional inquiries on receipt of the standard pack, that will cost you, the seller, as well. If you happen to be a shareholder in the freehold company or in the management company itself and have mislaid the share certificate you received on your purchase and cannot produce it, well, that'll be another £50 or thereabouts if you have to hand over a certificate on completion of the sale. If you need the consent of the landlord to the assignment of your flat, that will cost you about another £150 plus VAT. Many managing agents insist on landlords placing a restriction on a tenant's title when blocks of flats are being built and sold to the first occupiers. This restriction prevents registration of a future purchaser as owner at the land registry without a release from the managing agents. The release of this restriction will only be given when the outgoing tenant has paid everything owed to the landlord and the managing agents, and when the incoming tenant, the purchaser, has entered into a deed of covenant.
Okay, so if I understand you correctly, and I've got my maths about the seller's going to have to cough up at least 300 quid for the management pack, but it could be more, potentially £50 for a share certificate and maybe 150 quid for the landlord's consent to the sale, so 500 quid, give or take. But you said that these charges are liable to VAT, but I thought financial and property transactions were VAT exempt. Is that not right?
Well, the managing agents are providing a service in sending you the documentation you need, and therefore VAT is payable on that service.
Okay, so what about the purchaser? What do they have to pay?
The purchaser normally has to pay up in two ways: by serving notices of assignment and charge on the managing agents or the landlords, and on entering into the deed of covenant. If the lease stipulates the notice fees, you're in luck. But if it says a reasonable fee or doesn't state a fee at all, the managing agents can charge you up to £150 plus VAT for the notice of assignment and up to another £150 plus VAT for the notice of charge. The lease may also require the incoming tenant to enter into a deed of covenant to observe and perform the terms of the lease. Ka-ching! That'll be another £150 plus VAT approximately for the managing agents. Thanks you very much. All contributions gratefully accepted.
There's nothing anybody can do about that.
No. Of course, there's nothing unreasonable. No, there isn't. There's nothing unreasonable at all in a landlord wanting to protect themselves by ensuring that the outgoing tenant coughs up everything that he or she owes. And there's nothing unreasonable in the landlord wanting to ensure that there's a direct contractual relationship between itself and the incoming tenant. Nor is there anything unreasonable in the managing agents wanting a formal notice of the name of the incoming tenant, the date of the transaction, and the name and address of the tenant's mortgagees. In this respect, there's a valid reason for the notice of charge. If the tenant doesn't pay the service charges for any reason, he or she will be in breach of the terms of his mortgage, his or her mortgage, and the managing agents will know who to write to in the event of non-payment. However, it could be argued that the charging structure applied by many agents provides them with a very healthy income at the tenant's expense for a very modest amount of work.
Ah, well, hang on here, because surely some of the managing agents actually will have to pay the landlord if the tenant doesn't pay up, or if there is no tenant available.
They don't have to. No,
some of them advertise that they do that, do they not?
Well, if they do, I wouldn't believe it, frankly. I've never come across it before.
All right. So to summarise, the purchaser needs to allow for the managing agent's costs of receiving a notice of assignment, receipting a duplicate of up to £150, a notice of charge for up to another 150 quid, and a deed of covenant for another £150, all plus VAT. So potentially £450 plus VAT, which is about 540 quid, is that right?
Right, yes it is. To put it in a nutshell, any seller or purchaser should expect to pay an additional amount to the managing agents, equivalent to between 25% and 50% of the amount the solicitor or conveyancer will charge for all the work they do from the time they're first instructed to act until the transaction is finally buttoned up, which can sometimes take 18 months after completion has taken place and the purchaser's title has been registered.
Why is that so long? How come?
Conveyancers are often faced with delay on the part of managing agents in preparing up-to-date service charge accounts and have to try and calculate how much more an outgoing tenant should be paying over and above the usual monthly standing order for service charges. Retentions to cover this have to be agreed and apportioned when the service charge accounts for any particular year are ultimately produced. The conveyancers' charges for settling up with the managing agents will have been included in their original quote.
Right, okay, well, thanks for all that, I think. Now, this is clearly one of your pet hates, but what have you decided on for the subject next month?
Well, next time I think I'll cover service charges in more detail and what protections exist to limit the ability of landlords and managing agents to overcharge on remedial work to tenanted properties. That's a big subject in itself.
All right. OK, thanks very much indeed for all of that. Thanks a lot, Brian.